see it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's pack calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watching for Jesus Bible study for tonight. Man, I do this twice a day. Oh, welcome this afternoon. I'm going to cover tonight, since it's the 29th of October, about Halloween, the Bible study on Halloween, the truth about Halloween. And then I'm going to talk to you just a little before I do this. Before I do this, I'm going to give you some idea that's in line with the occult about their thesis of initiation, what they really go through, what really pulls them in. Now, I'm going to go through this fairly quickly. I'm not going to belabor it and make a big deal out of it, but just to get an overall view of what they hear, what the entire range of these occult powers is. That's not easily attainable by all the initiates. What pulls them in to think they're going to get somewhere? The seven transcendent privileges and powers of the initiates or the adepts. That would be Freemasons at the highest level. What keeps them pulled into it? What promises are they given to go through all this, to sacrifice their souls, to put it on the back burner that overrides their families? You have to say it does, because they take a blood oath not to tell anybody the secrets. Well, I'm going to tell you some of the secrets right now. Some deep ones. The royal secret's the worst. I've explained that before. I got my internet up. If someone needs me to explain what the royal secret is, I'll do that. I don't mind doing it. I just don't want to get on too many rabbit holes tonight, because I want to cover Halloween. Tomorrow, tomorrow and Friday, I hope to finish up on the homosexual and the perverse spirit. and solutions. I want to give you solutions. All this fear mongering and Fukushima here and plastic coffins in Atlanta, Georgia there and GMO products, chemtrails, World War III looming in the background, and we're in the seventh trumpet they're saying now, all this nonsense to cause fear. We need solutions. Now, some of the solutions are not everybody's liking. People want easy solutions. The easy solutions, accept it. That's a bad move. That's the move they want you to take. God will never allow more than you can handle. But I tell you what, he sure pushes that envelope. But that's to make you stronger. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and then I'm going to hit you for some things tonight. And it will be recorded. Yeah, a long time ago, you say it used to be taped. It's not taped, is it? It's like saying groovy. It's being recorded, as all of them are, so if you miss something, you can go back to it if you'd like. But I'm dedicated, and let's get moving here. Lord, we thank you tonight, Father, that we come together in a Bible study. Thank you, Father, for our families. Lord, teach us to be patient. Lord, sometimes we need it. Lord, we pray for our family members to touch their hearts with knowledge, with wisdom, discernment. And Father, they can spread the gospel too. Father, keep us humble. Keep us in the right word. Convict us if we fall away. Remind us of where we're headed. Father, give me the spirit tonight of wisdom and revelation. Knowledge, Lord, that in keen insight to the mysteries and the secrets of you and those we don't understand and things we don't understand. That, Father, we seek to experience the deep and intimate truth about you and about what's around us. To read the Bible, comprehend with open eyes to see the wonderful things. Show us the things to stay away from and what to watch out for. To flood our hearts with light that we can understand the hope that you've called us to. To make your word come alive in us. Father, we pray for confirmation, and sometimes we have doubt. But give us strength and courage to speak out the truth when we have it. Father, we pray for discernment and wisdom to be given to your watchmen, to those elect, that Father, that are going to preach the truth, and to give them protection until that time to call home. All these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I was doing a little bit of the ministering on my Facebook. And somebody wrote that's, you know, talking about the patriotism and go get them, Charlie, and all this and all that, which, you know, being a former military, Marine Corps, I can understand all that. And sometimes I fall back into that mode of thinking, but it's not reality. But I was writing back and forth with some folks, this one individual. They mean well. But I started talking about the education, how the education is corrupted, how the education is based on, you know, the Humanist Manifesto, et cetera, et cetera. You've all heard me talk about this many times before. And I certainly walk on eggs when I talk about the racial issue. I know that. But it is major, just like feminism. It is powerful, a powerful tool they've developed. I do. Very few people I know, I've been told, Tom, we don't talk about that. And I said, well, I got to. About the racial issue, how they've using it as a weapon, feminism, all that. And then the seven areas you've heard me talk about many times. Well, the person said, wrote, and understandably, he just simply wrote, I don't like the way you think. I said, well, you know, I can't help that, you know. But I wrote back, I said, you know, I don't like the way I think either. But I wouldn't think this way if they wouldn't do what they were doing. I wouldn't have to think this way. I wouldn't have to expose this. If they weren't doing it, I wouldn't have to think it. I'd like it that way, but that's not reality. I don't like the way I think. I don't like the way that I see this world. Except then I see it beyond. It takes me out of it. Because I know Jesus Christ is coming back. I know that God is going to bring back his kingdom. I know that they've lost already. And I feel sorry for them in a way until I then start researching about what they've done. Then I realize I have to go neutral because it's not for me to wish anything upon anyone. That's God's business. Mine is simply the Great Commission and to share what I've learned and to everybody else and move on. But I see the ending. So can you imagine if those that's just learning about this and they start finding how vast and how large this is and all that, but they don't have Jesus Christ in their heart? Can you imagine what that could do to someone, really? If they don't have that hope or that they don't see the end, which is in the book of Revelation. Man, if they don't have that, they shut the book up and they quit. And they just recoil back into their makeup world of fantasy. And it is fantasy. It's based on TV, based on surviving by working. You have to, or receive something, whatever, to get by. But then when they're not doing that, it's back to fantasy football or a church and just sit there and just listen to be preached at and use Bibles that's not even of God, except King James Bible, but then they're using other Bibles. The fantasy, let's go to Disneyland. It's fun, Disneyland, but is that true? No. Christmas is coming. Great. Hey, wonderful. Is there really a Santa Claus? No. No, there's not. Well, now we have celebrating the birthday of Lucifer in the churches. And you start learning this, it's like, huh. Someone says all along, they say, Tom, you come into our Halloween at the church. You sit there and blink your eyes. Huh? Yeah, we got a haunted house in the basement. We have it every year. What? Maybe they have a book reading with Harry Potter and Rollins, maybe come by and autograph books. Family, can you imagine? If they had picked a church, a big church, and Rollins was going to go to one on Halloween night and sign Harry Potter books, can you imagine the line? You'd have to have traffic cops just for the cars out there. Kids be fighting to sit on her lap or something. I don't know. Everything's backwards. But God's going to straighten it out. What keeps the secret society members in tow of the occult philosophy? There's seven transcendent privileges and powers of the initiate or the adept of Freemasonry and Illuminati. One, he converses with the seven genii or the hierarchies or principalities of the air. He converses. You understand this? He converses, I quote, he converses with the seven genii or hierarchies or the principalities of the air. Seven of them. seven areas, seven everything, seven other principalities. The adepts at 33rd degree Freemasons at the highest level of the Vatican converse with these guys as channeling. You understand this. Number two, he's become superior to every affliction and to every fear. So they don't have any afflictions. They don't have any fears, but they cause it for everybody else. But they're superior to that. Number three, he disposes of his own health and life and can equally influence the health and life of others. Can you imagine? Family, that's witchcraft. That's curses, hexes, vexes, spells, charms work unless you're protected by the blood of the Lamb. You understand how the impact of what I'm saying here? It's what they're told. It's what they think. It's what drives them to be that power. So they got to take power away from you so you'll crave the power to come above everybody else. That's what this world's based on. Number four, he can either be surprised by misfortune, nor overwhelmed by disaster, nor vanquished by his enemies. Golly, I want to join that. Wow. Really? You're not surprised by misfortune, not overwhelmed by disaster, nor vanquished by the enemies. Do tell. Number five, he reigns with the higher, yet is served by the lower powers. Wasn't that fun? Come here, boy. Shout my sheep. Come here. Get over here. Take me to the laundry cleaners. Look how much power I got. You see what they do? Number six, he knows the reason of the past, present, and future. Oh, heck, we talk about that every day, 2 hours, don't we? And number seven, he holds the secret of the invocation of the dead. Man, that's some heavy stuff there. But what we really should really read is he holds the secret of the invocation of the demonic realm. Now you're talking. And you know the powers and privileges of which rank next to importance? They're told, one, to find the Philosopher's Stone. To possess the universal medicine. I guess there goes colloidal silver out the door, huh? To possess, number three, to possess the secret of changing into gold not merely all the metals, but the earth itself and even the refuse of the earth. You know what that means? With alchemy, to change the frequency vibration of all materials into gold. All they got to know is how to change the molecular structure by the invocations of calling on the supernatural to change the frequency of vibration to equal that of gold. By knowing the formulas, they can do that. Remember, we're all just molecules, atoms, quarks, and protons and photons, and I don't know whatever else. But by changing the frequency of vibration of those particles, you'll change water to wine. Jesus could do that by his own power. But mankind is fooled and think it's their power, but it's not. It's demonic power to a certain extent. A lot of this is lies anyway. Number four, to subdue the most savage animals and to know the words which charm serpents. Now you understand the diabolical purpose behind zoos and killing the wolves in Utah and other places and killing all the predatory animals. Now you know. Do you understand this? This is the purpose of those god-awful zoos, to put proud animals so we can just sit and watch and poke at them. That's a zoo. When the zoo is really outside the zoo itself, that's the zoo. People just don't know that. Number five, to possess the numerical art which gives the universal science. Numerology. Number six, to be able to speak learnedly on all subjects without preparation, without study. I have some samples of how they do it. They have a medieval type drawing that's based on the subject, and it's written, and the way it's drawn, the way it's typed, the way it's written, is you almost have photographic memory because of the way they present it to you. Their methodology is quite amazing. But it won't be after the first trumpet. See, I know that's going to happen. Apparently they don't. And the last seven privileges of the Magus, which are most readily attained by all willing to make the effort. 1, to pierce at a glance the depths of men's souls and the secret of women's hearts. To hypnotize, mesmerize, lie, cheat, and steal. There you go. All right, now we got it. Family, this is what happened with Mandel House and Woodrow Wilson. It's what happened with Adam Weishaupt and Thomas Jefferson. To pierce at a glance the men's souls and the secret of women's hearts. It's called hypnotizing. Mesmerizing. To force nature to give in to him whenever it may please him. 3, to foresee all future events which do not depend upon a superior free arbiter or on an indiscernible cause. To foresee all future events. False prophecy. Depart from me, I never knew ye. Did we not in your name do prophecy? You see how it works? Wow. To give at once, 4, to give at once to all the most efficacious, I practiced that today, the most efficacious consolation and the most salutary counsels. What a load of garbage. 5, to triumph over adversities. Should have practiced that longer. 6, to conquer love and hate. This is the beginning of all higher powers. Whatever. 7, to possess the secrets of wealth. To be always its master and never its slave. To know how to enjoy even poverty and be at peace and never to fall in abjectness and wretchedness. Well, it's too late for them because wealth is going to go away at the first trumpet. It's going to go bye-bye. They even have the Star of David, which is a hexagram used, and it shows like all the colors and how they, in the alchemy, whatever. They know these secrets now, but it won't do them any good when the fire starts. That's just what's going to happen. Halloween. Bobbin apples. I remember when I was a kid, back in old West Jefferson, I'd leave with 1 bag, 2 bags, come back full. I'd eat candy for a week. Then it got kind of ugly. You had to, I don't know, when 60s, 70s, 80s, I don't know, somewhere in there. Here come the razor blades and the apples and all kinds of corruption and so forth. Bats, brooms, witches, ghouls, ghosts, goblins, skeletons, jack-o'-lanterns. A lot of death on the night of Halloween of children that's been kept in cages for the past 13 days, terrorized, horrified, screaming. That's what really goes on these holidays. People don't realize that, would rather not know. I pray against it every chance I get. 525,000 children missing every year out of 750,000, unaccounted for. 525,000, give or take, every year. They just disappear. Yeah, well. Every type of gory, ugly thing that can be imagined and people dressed as creatures in the world of this dead or the unknown world of hobgoblins and devils will be on the night of Halloween. Adults with costumes of all sorts. Some have even dressed as victims of 911. Can you imagine? I went to a party. It was in... where was it? Oh, it was in the Congo. That Halloween. Or was it Kosovo? Well, it all runs together. Oh, it was in Kosovo. And that party, one of the guys from South Africa, it was all internationals, and you had some people from Israel there, and some people from other places. Not good. And the one from South Africa came dressed as a Nazi SS. It got ugly from then on. He played the part. Needless to say, the representatives from Israel didn't see too lightly about that. It wasn't a good party. Tricks or treats is relatively the fun time of many unsuspecting children and adults. But the trick is really on the one who's playing right in the trap of the devil. I hate to be an old fogey, but that's what it is. Halloween's a day of celebration for the devil and the worshipers. It's that simple. Whether you're dressed as a little ballerina or Rory Rogers, it don't matter. We're participating. Don't get me started on baseball. I got to tell you all the truth. And I mean, I have to do it. The cauldrons are boiling and the potions are brewing. I guess it's talking about Freemasons. The Yule logs are blazing and the forces of Satan are in their highest rituals and ceremonies on that night and even a couple of days before. Everybody's preparing their costumes now and they don't understand. You know, the powers of the demonic world are loosed out. The veil between the first and second heaven is at its thinnest. They're running around crazy seeking bodies to enter, these demons, for real. Because this tonight, the night of the Halloween, the day before Halloween, 30th and 31st, is when the veil opens up. Because everybody's participating, that energy is released into the atmosphere. It's real. You know, many centuries ago, for example, the Druids, which are the pagan high priest. And by the way, 911 was a Druid sacrifice. It wasn't Islam. It's Druid. That's where the presidents of the countries and Illuminati, Freemasons, and Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Skull and Bones, all these secret societies. That was the killers of those in 911. It was a satanic sacrifice. It opened up portals they'd planned since 1966. The two towers were representation of the two towers, two columns of Boaz and Jachin at each Masonic lodge, representing, of course, the columns of Solomon's temple. In the middle opens a portal from the human sacrifice. Those were built to come down since September 11th, 1966. It was pagan. It was Druid sacrifice under the guise of... remember this. Remember? It was the Muslims. Yeah. And then it said, no, it was those darn Jews did it. The Jews did it. There's tyrannical government. Make up your mind. It's Druids that involves the government. Yeah, I won't tell you that. These are the Druids, though, starting in Ireland, where the Knights Templar reside. Pagan high priests, who the Knights of Templar are. We go through the neighborhoods, these actual Druids back in the days. And the tradition of Halloween was they would go through the neighborhoods and countryside on the eve of October 31st. To All Saints Day, November the 1st. And they would collect offerings for Satan. And it wasn't candy. They'd carry lanterns, bags for money, and a cane had a very sharp point on the end of it. You know what it's called today? It's called the leprechaun staff. You might know it as a good luck horn or the fairy's wand. That's what that is. People wear it today on their neck, don't have a clue what it is. At each house, they would demand a specific amount of donations, a treat, and it wasn't food and it wasn't candy. If the household would not or could not give the offering a penance or a treat, the druid would use his cane and castrate the male human or one of the prized male animals. Trick or treat had a whole different meaning back then. See, the rituals and secret ceremonies, obligations and covenants are being kept by the cultists and Satanists on particular days and nights. I've talked about this before, about the holidays, all of them, really, but flagging certain periods of the year where the veil between the second and first heaven is the thinnest. The energy goes through that thin veil so they can manifest in that tree of life. They have to go like a ping pong ball, like a pinball machine. They have to go from one of those, the tree of life. You understand what I mean? The 12, I think it's 12, 7, 8, well, I forgot what it is. Anyway, the tree of life, they have to hit all those areas to be able to get a physical body. Kind of like a pinball machine. To gather enough energy to manifest physically. If they can't, they have to channel through the individual is the next best thing. Multitudes are gathering in worship and prayer and sacrifices to the God of this world and the God of Freemasonry, Lucifer. Your family spirits gathering like a family reunion on or holiday celebration in the natural or earth realm, first heaven. But you know these demon spirits of the departed dead that they're gathering for rituals and sacrifice? Some of the demon spirits present at the celebration come from embodied living clan or tribe members. Because they open up the portals, they do the invocations. And these are the ones that are vying for the powers. That's what they do. The president takes an oath of office, right? Then they shuttle him down to the Scottish Rite headquarters for a second ceremony of invocation. To have him possess every president. They go through two ceremonies. Family spirits are not familiar spirits, though, by the way. Familiar spirits are spirit guides or fallen angels. But family spirits are demon spirits of the departed family members or friends. So the family spirits are called by rank by the wizard or witch or warlock and are led by the Lord Druid. That is, until they're divined by the spirit guides through the spirit of divination. Kundalini spirit has invaded a lot of churches today. Some hide behind speaking in tongues, holy laughter, holy drunkenness. You know, the spirit of divination, for example, is kind of a, well, it's kind of a, I guess, a center or a central communication division of the demonic spirit world, which is real. And this spirit guides, which are fallen angels or familiar spirits, of the divine, they call and send forth demon spirits through the spirit of divination. It's physics, it's chemistry, it's biology, it's alchemy. Well, I mean, in the Bible. All right, let's give some scripture out. It talks about this. Acts 16. Let's go, hopefully, to 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Fortune telling. Police bring in their soothsayer to find lost people. It's all the same thing. Remote viewing. which is sanctioned by the Pentagon and Russians, weaponized demonic spirits. You understand how this goes? They use children as the medium by sodomizing, rape, or murder. Helps open up that portal, allowing the individual to become possessed, and that demon gets inside the host, gives them the power. So the human gains the notoriety, the ego boost of having that power, but it's not really his at all. He will implode. And it keeps sucking up the life force energy that is going to result in that person dying earlier than they ever would. Some of the folks, a good thing I'm talking about tonight, because I got a feeling that the ones at the 4 to 6 TalkStream Live crowd would not get into this at all. They would not understand this. I just don't think so. We're past 101 here. That's why God forbids the fortune telling and here is horoscopes. See, they can make the fortune telling and horoscopes come true. Because God will allow them to work. Since you went there, you've caused them to pull away from you. By me going in there, walking in the building, going to the seance. Hi, Madam Zora, how you doing? I'm just making that name up. Or you're going to a tattoo parlor. You going into it, knocking on the door, or whatever you do, and go inside. You're giving permission for those demons to act on you. When you play that Ouija board, you want to play? Yeah, let's sit down and play. I've given permission. Therefore, listen, you have to voluntarily take the mark of the beast for it to work. People say, well, what if they give it to me and I didn't know it? No, it has to be voluntary. Acceptance means denial of Jesus Christ. They can't just sneak it on you. It has to be voluntary. It's called free will. Sometimes these assignments that these demon spirits receive bring about rebellion in the supernatural satanic realm. They fight each other. The Lemurians and the Atlanteans. Oh, there are fallen angels on different sides. The spirits are assigned certain continents to stay on in the principalities. Hilarion is one for North American state. North America, the fallen angel Hilarion is the big honcho. Africa's got one. Europe's got one. China's got one. Russia's got one. Scandinavia's got one. They all got one. With sub-like colonels or majors, whatever, below them in the supernatural realm. This is so organized. And they work in those areas. They don't fly around on broomsticks. They just don't fly around and say, "Woo, we're going to, where are you going? I'm going to Scandinavia to mess around with them." It don't work that way. They have areas of responsibility. The spirits want to continue to control the areas that they are in. Whether body, nation, society, system, or Ashram Ray, as they call it, you know, the politics, religion, finance, whatever. Or whatever control they've received for their obedience to Satan. They do not want to be dislodged. That's why they have a strong man there. I'm giving you a 105 today. This is a little beyond what I've talked about before. But this is Halloween. They like to continue to embody members of the same family, hence generational curses. They prefer humans, but they'll settle for animals, hence the talking serpent, hence the talking jackass, hence the put us into the pigs, the 2,000 pigs. Family, this is in the Bible. This is in the Bible. They could possess inanimate objects. The UFOs that people see, and they look like UFOs, and other type weird-looking things, those are fallen angels taking that shape. The illusion. They can manipulate those particles. A lot of people don't know this. Millions of persons are vying for power, supernatural powers of evil, to work curses and hexes and spells and power to manipulate controlling power over those lesser forces of darkness and power to control the present world system and to move their agenda, move their objectives on certain days to ensure success. September 11th is a good example. April 19th, every holiday, earmarks a certain position of the stars and the veil that gets thin. See how it works? Alchemy. You know, a lot of the people are saturated in demonology. Demonic spirits that are already in control of government establishments, military, religious organizations, and financial systems, educational institutions. You've heard me say this many times. That's what controls them. It's not the Arabs. It's not the Jews. It's not even the Illuminati. The Illuminati are slaves, and they better do what they're told to do or they die. They'll kill them. For them to advance in the entertainment world or singing or any other of those initiates to advance further, someone in their family has to die. And one of the ways that women are told in the witchcraft to get to a goddess level is to have abortions and to kill that child by design. See, these spirits are superior and they receive obligations, told to conduct sacrifices from lesser spirits. But all these suckers, man, all these little specks of light and orbs and all that, their origin in Satan and are under the power of the familiar spirits or spirit guides, control them. In Islam, they call them jinn. Y'all ever heard of a genie? They work divination, impart the power to those who's completely yielded to their obedience and every obligation required by Lucifer. What does God require? Complete obedience. Family, it's how the supernatural works with the natural world. Your witches and druids and wizards and magicians and sorcerers and pagans of every breed are in the high mass and tribe and clan leaders. They're calling a reunion in the supernatural realm. One reunion is called the Wesak Festival. That's a major one. There are Sabbaths, according to them, to the worshiper of Satan. And so people in the occult, and they take these days very, very seriously. And their sacrifices must be perfect, pristine, and innocent to mock God. Not necessarily protected by the blood of Jesus, but unsuspecting victims. So the highest Sabbath Mass is the eve of October 31st. That's known as Halloween or Holy Eve. Does not say in the Bible about no respect for Holy Day or Sabbath. The Sabbath is any day you choose, certainly one day a week. That Sabbath choosing, that I need to talk about that here soon, about Sabbath and about tithing and all that. But Holy Eve is what they call it. It ends on November the 1st, which is the pagans' witches' New Year's Day. That's why all this happens. It's a time where they proclaim powers for control and leadership in the satanic realm and the world systems that I've been talking about now for 5 years. And today, even, I covered it in detail. Now, there's blood sacrifices offered up to the god of Baal worship, the sun god Ra. They try to mix it up. Well, the reason you say Amen is Amun Ra. It's really, no, it's not. They try to tell you that. And also the goddess of fertility, Diana. Easter, Ishtar, it's all about fertility. Also. So now, already passed, but the 18th of October, the Lord Druid in Belfast, Ireland, y'all, and the faithful followers of evil spirits gather for 13 days from the 18th of October to the eve of Halloween or the Sabbath. of the Druids, witches. And during this time, family, you're not going to like this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Because during this time, they offer sacrifices, human or animal, to the god of the spirit world, Satan. This is about 99%, 95%, we'll say, of abductions, people missing, animals missing, is because of this. The sacrifices are to obtain super spiritual power. As from a separate investigation and research I just gave you a little while ago. Now you see how it comes together? The followers must give a blood sacrifice. Some give their own blood, others offer an animal's blood, but the more power they want, the greater the sacrifice. Therefore, the highest power they want, like in your movie stars, your singers, rappers, country, it don't matter who they are. They want more power. They give up somebody they love. Or maybe a whole soccer team on a plane. Huh? Or a hockey team on a plane. Remember Russia? What about the date on that hockey plane that went down? And then they made a move. This is what's really behind the scenes. There's every conceivable type of orgy happening from the 18th until the 31st of October. Disembodied spirits are loose from the bodies of animals, are being vied for by your spiritualists and witches and druids and wizards and Satan worshippers, because your spirits or souls come out of the bodies of animals being tortured. Is still energy source, like a small battery. How that's collected in the bodies, I don't know. I just know it's done. All the corrupt evil, the wicked, the vile, the filth one could ever imagine is going on around the scenes. I wish I could talk about all the pretty little things, nice things in Halloween, but family, that's not reality. You know, some of it's happening in the open, but most of the spiritual activities is guarded, and there's demon spirits which come out from every clan and from every corner of the earth at the command of the Lord Druid. McDonald's family is Illuminati. They're based heavily in the Druid worship. Did you know that? You know, at midnight, October 31st, a couple days from now, Lord Druid of Belfast, he looses the demonic spirits of the departed dead that's held in the bodies of animals, so they think. And the cultists or worshippers that satisfied the desires of Lucifer, they actually receive from the Lord Druid the desired spirits and appreciation for their obedience and obligations and sacrifices. Oh, you've been a nice little druid. Good little mason. Good boy. Good boy. Well, you know that April 30th is a day of pagan worship, sacrifice for strength from the reincarnated demon gods or agents of Satan. May the 1st, the anniversary of the World Revolutionary Plan by Adam Weishaupt, and his birthday. On May the 1st, the occultists celebrate and dance and feast and orgies. May Day is more than a maypole they dance around. Spirits in worship for the insatiable desires given during the sacrifices are loosed out from the second heaven to the first. June 21st to June 24th. A lot of things happen that period of time also. The dates of another high mass and animal human sacrificing. And that orgy is an obligation to the sun god Ra, heat of the sun. The worshippers seek the strength and approval of Lucifer. Even the eve of December 21st, or the birthday of Tammuz, to the eve of December 24th. That's the birth of Tammuz, T-A-M-M-U-Z, the illegitimate son of Semiramis. Family's all connected. High mass is held, and blood is sacrificed to the priests and druids and witches and magicians and sorcerers, the sun god Ra, to the gods and goddesses. of this satanic realm of goodness, darkness and evil. And the spirits of divination, they call the agents of every nation for loyalty to Lucifer. What agents? Bilderberg, Trilateral Commission, kings and queens of this world at the highest level, and the Vatican as well. You know, a lot of people are initiated in the worship of Satan through these days. Pagans of every breed and nationality are participating. They make a secret covenant or some kind of obligation. They pray the prayers of renunciation to God or Jesus Christ. They offer themselves and their families, if married, to Lucifer. Sign their name in blood. It just gets ugly. You know, there's some that realize they're being duped and refuse to sign. What happens? Others have seared consciences and are under the control of demonic spirits. They've already determined to give their souls to Satan for promises of power. Some people that don't want to do it, they're watched very carefully. They certainly won't go far in their job. Demons are real, family. Whether you or anyone wants to acknowledge this fact that, or doesn't make it not so. We've been playing their game all along. What takes you out of the game is Jesus Christ becoming born again. They like having you for a plaything. It's only when you are innocent, who are innocent, they realize that things are beginning to be strange for you. So, would you recognize that something's unusual and kind of unreal? I'm hearing words about the Shadow Man and Slender Man and Top Hat. That's Freemasonry. Succubuses and attacks in bedrooms. I'm hearing it all the time lately. These spirits know when to become active in your life. They have all your traits down pat. They know what your fears are. So they're going to give you a treat. It's what you've wanted, isn't it? Or was it the trick? You see, Satan is subtle, and his actual tactics have not changed. He goes with the technology. He inspires the technology. He's still the father of what? Of lies. And all liars. You know, any time he can dupe you or anybody else into thinking that doing his schemes or his games are being done in all innocence, well, the trap's worked and we're now seduced by demons. Don't even know it. And enjoy it. Have fun. But this is what really is going on in the past, in the background. They have every right to come in and go out of your body because we've given them permission to act. 1 Corinthians. This is sobering, you know, to talk about. I don't see it as negative. I see it as realistic. As this is a major problem going on today, what I'm talking about right now. And we've discussed a tad bit here about how the generational curses are passed down. 1 Corinthians 3:16, 17. Know ye not that ye are a temple of God? That's your body. And the Spirit of God dwells in you? That's the Spirit. If any man defile the temple of God, that's your body. Him shall God destroy. That's not good. For the temple of God is holy, where temple ye are. Which one are you? Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. That's a call to repentance. They call it in the Illuminati a physical vehicle. That's your body. You know, whatever Christians do to should bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. You climb Mount Everest? Yeah, I climbed Mount Everest. I used to climb Mount Everest many years ago. But did he give... Oh, not me. That's why I changed the accent. Did he give glory to God or himself? Look here. This is my picture. See me? Look, 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 look. That was a little old, isn't it? Where's glory to God? When people have these amazing recoveries and win these races and adversities and double amputee that does all this, that's great. It's encouraging and it's brave and all that, but they're not giving glory to God. I don't mean to be a party pooper. You know what I mean? But all these things that goes on is good, but where's glory to God? How do you think they really got there? Glory goes to God. Humanism goes to me, not God. Look what I did. Look what I accomplished. How long is that going to last? I've talked about this before. All the treasures on earth will be burned. I hate to tell you this, but I have to tell you, that's what happens. It's not negative, it's reality. Whatever Christians do should bring glory to the Lord. Can you tell the world who you are glorifying when you get dressed or allow your children to dress like the devil and the emissaries? It's cute. But what's really going on here? You're going about doing the very thing the devil wants us to do, practicing witchcraft. It has an effect on the kids and adults. See, one side of me in the core education is, what's wrong with the Halloween party? It's fun. Just watch everybody get drunk and eat the bobbin' apples. The ones that win have big mouths and sharp teeth. And the others are balls, but you can't, molasses popcorn thing balls, but you can't eat them if you've got dentures. Have your box of toothpicks. And then you get the little chocolate things and pecan, and I love, whipped cream on pumpkin pie, But you live in a fantasy. Those children, it affects them. People don't realize that. Everybody's aware of certain tricks which make the news each Halloween. Ground glass and razor blades and needles embedded in candy. I'm sorry, but that's what they do. Now, I didn't used to have to do this when I was a child, but now the parents go through all the candy to make sure that there's nothing bad or no drugs in or whatever. They make sure you have it in your tradition and ritual. Then when it's all set in, they start the assault. Some of the other things commonly done but not actually publicized are to dip candy in urine and excretes and rewrap it. That's a form of cannibalism in a way. Seducing children as they come to the house or putting hairs in children's which carry a hex. These things are very unpleasant and we ourselves, we don't want to mention, talk about it, but the most distasteful thing is that the children unknowingly are subjected to evil and wicked people. Oh, certainly you got some good people too, but family. It's what happens on the other side throughout the world. The effects from demonic invasion are gradual in most instances. The personality or nature of a child changes from a usual gentle, sweet little old self to rebellious, ugly individual where you're startled, surprised by the child's behavior. They've been touched. You understand? Sometimes you may not even believe it's the same adorable little easygoing ballerina that you dressed up. They're under control of an evil spirit. That's where the Ouija boards come in. They need the prayers of deliverance and renunciation. So why would someone let demons use the body? They wouldn't if they knew what was happening. They wouldn't do it if they knew what was happening. The Lord says that you are the servant to the one you yield yourself to. Romans 6:16. I won't continue here for a little while, not long, but I got a section I can complete and part two tomorrow on the solutions. Romans 6:16. Ooh. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants, ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. First Corinthians 10, verse 20, 21. Can't serve two masters. But 1 Corinthians 10, 20 to 21. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. How do you misinterpret that? Didn't Jesus ask him, can you drink from my cup? He talks about it again, but later. Sinners look at the Christians and they will see something in the life of the Christian which will give them a desire to live for Jesus. That's what happened in the Colosseums before Constantine. They saw how the Christians lived. And don't confuse that with Christianity. Or they'll see the people who are supposed to be the worshipers of the true living God practicing and prancing the streets with the same worldly desires and actions as their own. James 4:4. In James 4:4. 4 verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Okay, stand by, I'm going to play a hunch. I have a little hunch here. James 4:4. King James Bible says, ye adulterers, male, and adulteresses, females, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Now, if you have multiple marriages, I mean, you have a polygamy, many different wives, man, you're committing adultery every day. Oh, my, oh, my. Let's check out my hunch here. Hunch. Where's that song from Jeopardy? Dun, 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 dun. No, I can't play that one. James 4:4. I'm going to play a hunch here. Play hunch or bust. Is it a bust? Oh, it's not a bust. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness. Yep. James 4:4. Oh, these rascals. Look what they did. In James 4:4, in the King James Bible, these rascals, man. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, male and female, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? You know what they did in the NIV? Or the American Standard, NAU, the NAS? Several of these Bibles, they removed the word adulterers. They took it out. So I guess, men, you're okay, according to the corrupted Bibles. It's just the women are adulteresses. According to the Bible, the corrupted Bibles. How about that? Show that to your preacher. They took out the word adulterer. Now I want to play another hunch. This is amazing what they do. Unbelievable. How sneaky they are. The International Version. You know what it says? You adulterous people. So the NIV isn't real specific. You adulterous people. It don't mention male or female. But the King James is specific, man. But that's not all. That's not all. in Galatians 5:19. They removed the word adultery out of the... Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. Well, in the Bibles, a lot of them here, NIV is one of them, and all, good gosh, like 25 of them, they've removed the sin of adultery. So not only in the NIV, they've took it away from men can be adulterers, they removed adultery out, and that's not all. It gets worse. In Romans 1:29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, etc., etc., they removed the word fornication. So no adultery, no problem, no fornication. Hey, Jester Club, here we come. Yeah, inside knowledge there. Isn't that amazing? They removed the words so it's easier to read. Uh-huh. How come the preachers aren't raising Cain about that? Why don't you copy that down, James 4:4 and Dickens, what I said, Galatians something other. James 4:4, Galatians 5:19, Romans 1:29. Those rascals, man. Anyway. And Deuteronomy 7:9-11. That's unbelievable. Deuteronomy 7:9-11. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. And repay them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. We're responsible for this. You understand this? And then in Deuteronomy 6... Deuteronomy 6, in the King James Bible,
Deuteronomy 6.
There you go.
Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full.
And number 12.
Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shall swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God, as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God in his testimonies and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken.
Number 20.
And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us.
There you go. That's all he wants. Deuteronomy 12, 6 to 12 to 19. I figured you might want to hear him better. Tomorrow, part 2, what can Christians do? I'm going to focus on that tomorrow night. I'm going to send this out. I'm going to download it and send it out today, tonight, and put it out on the Facebook and the what have you. And then I'll do the same thing for tomorrow. But what can Christians do? What can cultists do? That's already involved in it. I want to give you solutions. Study up on Irene Arrington, Arrington Park. And there's others that were witches before that took Jesus as Savior. They got out of it. Todd talks about this as well. John Todd and Bill Cooper talks about this as well. He was Illuminati, you know. Bloodline, too. Did y'all know that? He pulled out of it. He got out of it. Family, we're going to close now. I think I've inundated you with enough tonight. And I had to go over because there was some things that need to be completed. I can't just do part two. Now I've covered that, so now we find solutions tomorrow night. I think that would be appropriate. And so I have changed my ending song. Well, Dolly Parton, she went over the side to protect the, or not to speak out against homosexuality. Notice I said homosexuality, not the homosexuals. But to warn them, but to speak out against homosexuality. And pray that they'll be delivered, but if they continue in this, it's going to separate them from God forever. It's not the person, it's the sin. But the person doing the sin is recipient of the separation. Whew, where'd that come from? Anyway, so you see, you have those like Steven Anderson and all these others that say all homosexuals should be killed. Say what? What are you talking about? That's what their role is, by the way, to give that stigma to Christians, because they work for the Illuminati, these guys like that. It's a cult group, like Arnold Murray, Shepherd's Chapel, Chuck Smith, all these others. So most of them are religions. It's about Jesus. It's not religion. about Jesus. It's not a pastor, preacher, pope, rabbi, whoever. It's about Jesus. The only word is the King James Bible. And this is not a preference. This is a fact. That's the key. Well, I prefer this. I really like the King James Bible. Whoa. No, we're not talking about preference here. Well, all translations are the same. No, they're not. Absolutely not. And can be proven otherwise. This is how people have their core education, their core background has been led. People have been led to believe this. Family, I better go now before I get started again, get my motor running. So, family, y'all have a good night tonight. We're going to close and then sign out. Lord, thank you tonight for Bible study. Father, lead us tonight and, Father, to spread this word. Touch people's hearts. Bring people to the Lord and not to Satan. Lord, that you will touch them with the Holy Spirit. Guide them in the right path. Father, to touch families around, to sanctify husbands from wives and wives from husbands. That, Father, that you will bring families together and healing to be performed. And, Father, to see the miracles, to cover us in the blood of Jesus, that, Lord, that we'll be able to stand in that day and pray for others. We do. And all these things we pray. Amen. Well, family, I'm going to close down here with I can't be old Dolly no more. I can't do that in good conscience. So let's just go with old Buddha. It's a neutral song. Y'all have a good night. It's your watchman signing off. Yeah, sort of. In a way.
Night-night. Hello. Buddha was a man, and I'm sure that he meant well. But I pray for his disciples, lest they wind up in hell. And I'm sure that old Mohammed thought he knew the way. But it won't be Hare Krishna we stand before on the judgment day. No, it won't be old Buddha that's sitting on the throne, and it won't be old Muhammad that's calling us home, and it won't be Hare Krishna that plays that trumpet tune, and we're going to see the sun, not Reverend Moon.
Well, I don't hate anybody, so please don't take me wrong. But there really is a message in this simple song. You see, there's only one way, Jesus, if eternal life is your goal. In meditation of the mind, it won't save your soul. No, it won't be old Buddha that's sitting on the throne. And it won't be old Muhammad that's calling us home, and it won't be Hare Krishna that plays that trumpet tune, and we're going to see the sun, not Reverend.
Well, you can call yourself a Baptist and not be born again, a Presbyterian or a Methodist and still die in your sin. Can't even be charismatic, shout and dance and jump a few. But if you hate your brother, you won't be one of the chosen few.
Cause it won't be a Baptist that's sitting on the throne, a Presbyterian or a Methodist that's for